capitalism, when it runs into its limits of what it can exploit, it as a system will do anything it can to maintain itself. This includes destroying the land base completely, including the parts it had set aside. When capitalism runs into the limits of the planet, a planet is a luxury the capitalists can no longer afford. They will strip every protection possible, or from their perspective necessary, on the way down. So lately there's been a lot of agitation over the election of the most recent leader in Brazil. And yes, the most recent leader in Brazil is terrible. Just like Trump is terrible for the environment and for many other things. And it's interesting to see historical forces in action that, yes, this person is causing trees to be killed in the Amazon who would not be killed otherwise. So I don't mean to dismiss his importance. But the real thing is that this is exactly what you expect as capitalism runs more firmly into the limits of the planet. That all the national parks, all the environmental regulations, everything in the United States are, from the perspective of capitalism, luxuries for the rich. They are only possible when you are stealing resources from the colonies. And it's what you want. You want a nice park at home so you can walk around and see the nature as everybody else's neighborhood is destroyed. That's, of course, what you're going to do. And that's, of course, what capitalism has been doing. That, yes, you do have to do some destruction nearby just because it's easier to bring stuff in, resources in from close. But whatever destruction you can outsource, you're certainly going to do it. And environmentalists, by which I mean grassroots environmentalists, by which I don't mean the sort of environmentalists who care more for protecting this culture than the real world, but instead the real environmentalists who care more for the real world than they do capitalism, have been talking about this forever. I mean, David Brower famously said that all of our victories are temporary and all of our losses are permanent. And part of what he understood by that was that capitalism is insatiable, and that it will eventually get to everything it hasn't gotten around to yet. And so as we see the world collapsing, and as we see industrial capitalism collapsing, what we're seeing in real time is the unstoppable force running into the immovable object, with the immovable object being the natural world, which cannot be defeated, and to the degree that it is defeated, it kills everybody on it. And you have capitalism with its complete insatiability, you know, for all of the propaganda over the decades of sustainable development or some sort of natural capitalism or green capitalism, that's all just ways to keep us distracted as it continues to grind up the earth. So anyway, the president in the United States and the leader in Brazil are both precisely what we'd expect, and we're going to expect to see them everywhere in the world. Expect to see that expand because the mindset that holds that, I mean, ultimately this is what you see in the bright greens too. This is why I can't get behind the whole Green New Deal, because it's not green at all. It's just more industrialism. And it's more, you know, if you support the industrial system, what you're doing is choosing which parts of the world to sacrifice on the altar of this culture. And if you are primarily an oil and fuels kind of guy, if you're an oil and gas kind of guy, then the primary areas you're going to sacrifice are going to be the places where they get the oil and fuel, the tar sands, the deep water drilling, or look at Arabia for that matter. I mean, just wherever you have, look at Bakersfield. And if you are a new green deal kind of guy or gal, then look at Baotou, China. Look at anywhere else where they mine the rare earths. Look at anywhere that they mine any of the materials necessary for those industrial products. Look at the installation of those industrial products. But those are all sacrificed on the altar in either case. So this is what we're going to see. And it doesn't matter that insects are disappearing. It doesn't matter the migratory songbird populations are collapsing. It doesn't matter the oceans are collapsing. None of that matters. This is what we're seeing on the way out. And, you know, my analysis from the beginning is not that radical. It's even though, you know, some people sort of consider it crazy, but it boils down to two things. One of them is this way of living cannot last, and when it's over, I would prefer there be more of the planet left than less. That's it. And people like Trump, people like anybody, actually, even so-called environmentalists who prefer this culture over the life on the planet, their notion is we would prefer this culture never end, and if it is going to end, we want it to end further down the road. That's the distinction. And one more thing that I want to say about all this is that it's not cognitively challenging. I understood all of this in second grade. I was seven to 8 years old, and they put in a subdivision near where I lived. And I remember thinking, where are the cottonwoods going to go? Where are the meadowlarks going to go? Where are the ants going to go who lived in anthills? Where are the grasshoppers going to go? And I recognized in second grade that you can't have infinite growth on a finite planet. And I hate to say it, but I think it's true that the typical second grader probably has more intelligence and more sense than the average environmentalist or certainly policy environmentalist and certainly any of the politicians. Because it's like R.D. Lang talks about how that through this culture's tremendous brainwashing, the hope is to turn children into imbeciles like ourselves with high IQs if possible. And this is what you get. And this is also, by the way, not just what you get on the environmental front. What you get at the end of capital is, at the edges of capitalism where it runs into solid limits, is you get fascism, and you get destruction of all remaining places that you set aside, that environmentalists thought you set aside for the animals, but you knew you set aside for an after-dinner snack. And it also is what you see in the rise of racism and the rise of xenophobia, because as long as you are able to have an ever-expanding middle class, 50s through 70s, you don't really have to worry so much about... You are secure. I wrote about this in Culture Make-Believe, but when you have an entire culture based on competition, so long as your members of your larger class are doing fine, so long as you have a gated community where the military is able to keep the primary destruction out there, you can pretend that you can have your little cargo cult that pretends that as long as you have the stores, the stuff's going to be in the stores. And as long as that's happening, there's no reason for you to hate the new and different people who might be moving into the neighborhood because there's plenty for all. But once it starts to get tight, then instead of blaming capitalism, instead of blaming the fact that capitalism has been destroying the planet, you just blame those damn environmentalists for putting in regulations that make it so you can't get at it. Or you blame the damn Mexicans for coming in and taking the job. Or you blame some other force, some other group of people, because anything other than look at where the fault lies, which is this way of life's going to end. And it also really explains, I wrote about all that in Culture Make-Believe, how you had more lynchings after the American Civil War than before, because no longer were the white people of the American South legally guaranteed the lives and labor of the Africans, that they instead There's this great line by Nietzsche, one does not hate when one can despise. And so long as they could simply despise the Africans and have legal access to their lives and labor, there was no need to lynch them. But as soon as they start to stand, as soon as that's threatened, then out comes the underlying rage. And this explains a lot of the increased mass violence that we see around us is just collapsing capitalism, where no longer are their expectations being met and they're pissed, and there is no, hell hath no fury like an entitled person losing his entitlement. And then also it explains a lot of the behavior of the left, where with our political correctness and our insistence on proper pronouns and on all this stuff that is utterly irrelevant on a material basis, because the left has long since relegated itself to complete uselessness for the most part. And if you can't change the actual material conditions of the world such that you can't stop the creation of haves and have-nots by capitalism, well, you want to maintain some level of effectiveness, right? And so sure as hell I'm going to make sure that somebody calls me by the proper name. And that, you see this pretty consistently too, that when social movements against those divisions of class find themselves ineffective, they can what's the line from the song Koyaanisqatsi? They can flop around like rats in a flood, feeding on each other's guts and blood. So basically they can turn on themselves because they can't really turn on capitalism, and they don't understand that. I'm not saying this well. Here's what I'm trying to get at, is that capitalism, when it runs into its limits of what it can exploit, it as a system will do anything it can to maintain itself. This includes destroying the land base completely, including the parts it had set aside. Those of us who, the image that always comes to my mind and what we need to do, those of us who care about life on the planet, I don't really care about anybody else, those of us who care about life on the planet, what we need to do, the image I think we need to take to mind is that of a demolition crew in a city, that when they try to take out a building because, you know, the building has to be demolished, they set the charges such that the building collapses in place and takes out as little life as possible. And as we see civilization, capitalism, collapsing, running up against the limits of the planet, and as we recognize that capitalism will be insatiable, and if it has its way, it will not admit it's wrong. It is wrong ever, and it will continue to grind away until there is nothing left. And so those of us who care should see this collapse of this ongoing steady collapse of civilization as a good thing. And no, we should not use that as an excuse to hang back and just say, get the popcorn and watch it fall, because every day it continues as 200 more species driven extinct. So for those of us who care about life on the planet, what we should do is start to think like members of a resistance. And what we should do is attempt to think very hard and to place charges, these metaphorical charges of taking a building down in place. We should think about what we can do to help civilization come down faster and to come down in place.